So this morning we begin a seven-week series on the seven signs in John's Gospel, which comes out of our adult Sunday school class on the Gospel of John that we went through, oh my gosh, I don't know how many weeks, 16 weeks or something, studying the Gospel of John, but it was a great study. And so I'll be preaching the next 7 weeks on the seven signs in the Gospel of John. We have the first sign today, changing of water into wine, the wedding feast of Cana. And I like to call this sign the sign of the ordinary. The purpose of signs in John's Gospel are to prove the identity that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God made flesh. So you would expect some big and crazy signs, but we never see that in John's Gospel. And that's what I love about these seven signs. And the first one, I don't think you can get any more ordinary than this sign. And if you notice in the telling of the story, as Tom was reading it, there's no action. It's fill some water, some jugs with wine. Go draw off a sample with water. Draw off a sample. It's wine. I mean, nothing happens. There's no hand waving. There's no magic. There's nothing big and earth shaking. It's so ordinary. But before I start, I think I've told you this joke before, but I have an oldie but goodie for you that actually relates to this series. There's this certain minister who was well known for having a lead foot and also well known for having a certain fondness for the fruit of the vine, if you know what I mean. So he's driving through a nearby town and he blows through a speed trap at 85 miles an hour and winds up getting stopped for speeding by a state trooper. And as he and the trooper are talking, the trooper smells alcohol on his breath. And looking inside the car, he sees this empty wine bottle on the floor. So he says to the pastor, "Sir, have you been drinking?" And the minister says, "Just water, officer." The trooper says, "Then why do I smell wine?" And the minister looks down at the bottle and looks up to heaven and says, "Praise the Lord, he's done it again." Seriously, here's a Bible passage that I have been wrestling with for some time. It's a story, I think, whose point just always seems to be a little out of my reach. And I'm not sure why, but I can't quite nail it down. See, part of the problem for me, I think, lies in my Catholic upbringing. This passage is a traditional reading for weddings. Why? I'm not sure. I mean, the action does take place at a wedding, and there's a bride and a groom, and there's a reception, a very big reception. Now, for Catholics, marriage is one of the seven sacraments. We have only how many, FYI? So adding all of that up, this passage must be telling us something about marriage, right? But that's where it falls apart for me, because I find it darn near impossible to get the connection. Am I missing something? Did I mention that it was a really big wedding reception that went on for several days? Maybe the passage is about wedding receptions or parties in general, because we all know that Jesus loved parties and he loved having dinner with friends and just people he happened to encounter. Maybe that's the key to understanding this passage. See, in Jesus' day, it was common for weddings to last for a week. 7 days was the Jewish custom. That's a heck of a long time. 7 days of feasting, drinking, 7 days with no work, enjoying the company of loved ones, all as a way of celebrating and sharing in the new couple's joy. Now that is a party that you would have to imagine did not come cheap. Knowing all this makes what John tells us about the problem at the wedding in Cana seem all the more pressing. He says, "On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wedding ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Without wine, the centerpiece of the party, the celebration would have come to an end, and it would have been a shame to the host for having a bad reception. So in steps Jesus, at the behest of his mother, Jesus makes sure the celebration does not cease. Filling 6 large stone water jars, Jesus performs his first sign. Remember, sign in John, miracle in the other 3 Gospels. Transforming about 150 gallons of water into top shelf, aged to perfection party wine. Not just any wine, but the good stuff. Not the kind that comes out of a box that you buy at Trader Joe's. And that was, according to the unsuspecting father of the bride, the really good stuff. Crisis averted, the party continues. Do any of you like wedding receptions? You know, some people are wedding reception types, some are not. Do you like wedding receptions? What has to be there for you to consider it a good party? A cake? Good food? Good drink, the chicken dance, the Macarena, hokey pokey. How do you define wedding reception success? And what about when there's an issue? Anyone have an issue at their wedding? Or have you kind of pushed that, like you don't even want to think about it anymore? Have you ever had to step in at a friend or family member's wedding to avert a crisis? Last minute dress repair? Keeping feuding family members apart, that's always a tough job. Quick run to the store for something forgotten. That's what I love about this first sign in John's Gospel. It is so typical and average and ordinary. We know and love wedding receptions. We know that things are always going to go wrong on a wedding day and that we might be called on to be a fixer for some of the problems. And other than that one tiny little miracle, water to wine, whoop-de-doo, it's just an ordinary story. Even down to the part about Jesus getting pushed around by his mom. I mean, and that's the part I think maybe I love the most about this sign. Jesus' mom pushing him around and manipulated into doing what she thinks he should be doing. Good Lord, it sounds like my mother. Now, this story takes place at the very beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 2, right after he writes his beautiful words about the Word made flesh. And at this point in the Gospel story, Jesus is still an unknown in Israel, still a nobody. And this story contains no preaching, no teaching, there's no healing, there's no parable, nothing. It's just the story of a group of people doing what we all do, Jesus among them. Being with friends and family at a wedding reception, having a drink, enjoying the conversation, doing the Macarena, maybe, I don't know if that's a stretch, perhaps. Just average, ordinary fun like we all partake in. And to make it even more normal, his mom bullies him. And I love that interaction. This is real stuff here in this sign. Relatable stuff, profane stuff, stuff we can understand. John begins his gospel, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In one breath, John writes those beautiful words about the Word made flesh, the Word dwelling among us, the Word that is the light of the world, and in the next moment, that very same Word made flesh is just sitting around and kicking back at a wedding reception with his mom and some friends. This first miracle sign of Jesus is so out of place among the others. There's no, if as we go into the other signs, no healing, no raising from the dead, no walking on water, no calming storms, no magic words, no hand waving, nothing. No one is rescued from death. It's a miracle that kind of seems to have no purpose at all. It just sort of happens when the servants are carrying the water from the jar to the maitre d' to the bride's father. And it doesn't seem like anyone really benefits from the miracle either. Yeah, the wedding couple and the bride's family, they're saved from shame, but they're not the first and won't be the last people to run out of wine at a wedding. It's not a huge deal. And it sure isn't meant to make a statement on marriage either. Wouldn't you expect, If I was Jesus and I was going to do seven signs to prove who I am, I would make that first one the biggest and the best, wouldn't you? But it isn't. So what the heck is this first miracle of Jesus all about? In The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky, the character Alyosha says, "Ah, yes, I was missing that, and I didn't want to miss it. I love that passage. It's Cana of Galilee, the first miracle. Ah, that miracle, that sweet miracle. It's not men's grief, but their joy Christ visited. He worked his first miracle to help men's gladness. He loves men, loves their gladness too." He was always repeating that. It was one of his leading ideas. There's no living without joy. Maybe there's a little bit of Jesus just wanting us joyful in this miracle at Cana. But I think it's deeper than that yet. I think that this miracle is all about the sacred and the ordinary and the difference between them, about the sacramental and the profane, and where God's grace is to be found, about where God is present in our lives and where we can expect to find God. Does anyone care to define what a sacrament is for us? Where's all of our confirmands from this past year? I don't think any of them are here this morning. Anyone want to define a sacrament for us? Our standard definition is an ordinary means to show God's extraordinary grace. Using common objects redefined or repurposed to show the uncommonness of God's grace, to reuse, to repurpose, to recycle the profane, to show the sacred that lies beneath and inside of it. Because the sacred lies beneath every part of our lives, even the most ordinary parts. I think that Jesus chooses to do this seemingly insignificant sign first to set the stage for us, to highlight us for us that his word that has entered the world, this word that has chosen to live among us as one of us, is here to take our ordinary and normal and make them anything but that. That this word who became flesh will take the plain old boring water of our profane lives and turn it into the best, into the finest, into the most cherished of sacred wines. Here at Cana, in this miracle, Jesus uses the most common of all things, water. In the most common of everyday living, in having a party and celebrating good times, to remind us that he's present always and everywhere in our lives. There's no part of our lives that is beyond God's seeing or controlling or entering into that God can't fill with his grace. For me, I think that's what this sign, this first sign at Cana is all about. Helping us to see that God's grace and God's love and God's mercy extends to every part of our lives, every single part, even where it may not seem possible to reach. And Jesus uses something as ordinary as water, something we use 1,000 times a day, in 1,000 different ways that we never even give a second thought to, so that we'll never forget God's reach. While John uses these beloved words, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, pitched his tent, set up camp," call it what you will, "among us, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's how John describes Jesus. Jesus turns water into wine to show us what it means for the Word to live with us. So don't be profane. And profane can be heard good or bad. Bad as in don't be rude and ignorant, right? Do you think that when you hear the word profane? Don't be rude and ignorant. Or good, as in don't live an ordinary life. That's the other meaning of profane, common and ordinary. Don't live an ordinary life in an ordinary way. Step outside the ordinary and see the extraordinary that God is doing in your life. Taste and see the new wine, the best wine, the finest wine that God can make of your plain old water. So what if you were to buy all that? What if you were to believe it? What if that's what this story is all about? What are you going to do about it? What are the profane parts, the average ordinary parts of your life that are begging to be redefined as sacramental? What if you were to see even the most ordinary parts of your life as sacramental, as places where God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, God's forgiveness, God's healing are present? Even if it's just eating a sandwich while watching the evening news, or a night out with friends, or at a deathbed of someone you love, or when you're facing an illness, or just walking the dog, or weeding your garden, or comforting someone in pain. What if every act of your life became sacramental for you, and you could see beyond the ordinary of what you're doing to find the God who chooses freely, out of love, to dwell with us? What if you could see your life through the eyes of Cana? How would it look? That's what Jesus' first sign in John is all about. Making the ordinary into the extraordinary, making the common sacramental, finding God daily in the unexpectedly common things and places of our life, finding God in the here and now of our day, and all this just so that in every action and detail of our common and ordinary lives, we'll see the works of God and come to believe in His Son. Amen.